Now, the main point of what we are saying is this. We do have such a high priest who sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven and who serves in the sanctuary, the true tabernacle set up by the Lord, not by a mere human being. Every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices, and so it was necessary for this one also to have something to offer. If he were on earth, he would not be a priest, for there are already priests who offer the gifts prescribed by the law. They serve at a sanctuary that is a copy and a shadow of what is in heaven. This is why Moses was warned when he was about to build the tabernacle, "See to it that you make everything according to the pattern shown you on the mountain." But in fact, the ministry Jesus has received is superior to theirs, as the covenant of which he is mediator is superior to the old one, since the new covenant is established on better promises. For if there had been nothing wrong with the first covenant, no place would have been sought for another. But God found fault with the people and said, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they did not remain faithful to my covenant, and I turned away from them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will establish with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor to, or say to one another, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." By calling this covenant new, he has made the first one obsolete. And what is obsolete and outdated will soon disappear. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, hello again. You can see I've gone for standing up. And I've kind of made up my own lectern. I hope you've heard chapter 8 of Hebrews read and you've prayed, so I'm gonna dive straight in. A while ago, I was at a conference where I saw a bunch of old friends, which was lovely. And it reminded me of how relationships are so important to us, precious to us, the very sort of stuff of life, if you like. But at the same time, it also reminded me of the sorts of problems we can get into in our relationships. There was one person there who a while ago I had offended by. I was rather selfish and I upset them, and they've said they forgive me, but I, as I saw them, I wondered, is it still on their mind? Do they think less of me? I saw another friend who I have a strong sense he wants me to be a certain sort of person. I have to sort of play a role, if you like. I mean, he never says that, but that's the sort of feel of the dynamic. Can't quite be yourself. And then, of course, there's an easier sense of insecurity. I mean, at the conference, there are lots of people, lots of groups of people, and sometimes you could be on your own or feel you're a bit excluded, or do people want to talk to you, and all that kind of thing. Guilt about our wrong, not being ourselves, insecurity. Relationships are precious, the very stuff of life, but they easily go wrong, have problems. Now, what about our relationship with God? If we're Christians, knowing God is life itself. But guilt? We say we're forgiven, but do you ever have a sense God is disappointed in you? Thinks less of you because of what you did the other day? being yourself. We all know God wants us to be a certain way, but often that can feel a bit unnatural to us. Doesn't fit this. It's not who I am. Insecurity. We can certainly feel God likes others more than us. Other people are more in with him than we are. I'm a bit on the edge. Do you ever feel those sorts of things? Should we feel those sorts of things? I ask all that because in our chapter, our writer describes our relationship with God in Jesus. He does it by quoting a promise from the Old Testament, from Jeremiah, a promise of the new covenant. A covenant is a Bible word for relationship. And in Jeremiah, God promises a new covenant or a new relationship, and we're gonna see how it's described. Before we get there, let me say a couple of words about the first half of the chapter. We get a description of the job of a priest. Verse 3, for instance, every high priest is appointed to offer gifts and sacrifices. And they did those sacrifices to enable you to know God. They, if you like, facilitated the relationship with you facilitated your relationship with God. They helped you to know God. We also get, though, a comparison between the Old Testament priests and Jesus. Now, we're going to unpack this in more detail in chapters 9 and 10, but let me just sum it up here. The short version is Jesus does a better job than the Old Testament priests. So verse 6, for instance, the ministry Jesus has received is as superior to theirs, the Old Testament priests, as the covenant of which he is mediator is superior to the old one. Jesus is superior. He does a better job. Or, as we'll see, he actually does the job. He really does the job of bringing us to know God, which means he brings about this new superior covenant. He brings about a new relationship with God. Now, what's this relationship like? Well, first of all, in our new relationship, there is true forgiveness. So let's start at verse 12. He quotes Jeremiah 31. He describes this new relationship, new covenant. Various things are true. And then verse 12, because or for, this is what it's founded on. For I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. This new relationship of forgiveness. Now, I want to think about that little phrase, he will remember their sins no more. That sounds like God has forgotten our sin. He can't remember it. He doesn't know about it, which is a little bit odd. It's helpful to realize that in the Bible, God remembering something means he's going to act on the basis of it. Let me give you a quick example. At the start of the Old Testament, God promises Abraham a land. His and his descendants, they end up in Egypt as slaves. And then we read, God remembered his promise to Abraham. Now, that doesn't mean he'd forgotten it and then sort of passed a post-it note promise to Abraham. And he thought, oh, I knew I promised something. Rather, remembering the promise means he's now going to act on the basis of it. He's now going to act to bring it about. And that means not remembering something means not acting on the basis of it. So not remembering our sin means I won't act on the basis of your sin. I won't give you what your sins deserve. A little while ago, I was in a meeting. I offended somebody. I was trying to be funny. It wasn't that funny. I offended them. We had a bit of an exchange by email after the meeting, backwards and forwards. I apologised. He forgave me. A few weeks later, I saw him. We had another meeting. And I saw him, and we were chatting away very happily. And then I said to him, "Oh, about that thing. Thanks for the emails. Sorry about that." And he said, "Oh, I hadn't even thought." Now, he knew it happened, but he wasn't conscious of it. It wasn't in his mind. It wasn't affecting our relationship. And that's what we're talking about here. Our sin doesn't affect our relationship, doesn't impact our relationship with God. He knows about it. But as far as our relating goes, it's been forgotten. Now, isn't that exactly what we want in relationships? We so easily hurt each other, careless word, thoughtless deed, selfishness, pride, whatever it is. We upset one another. I don't know if you ever find yourself wishing, wondering, if only that hadn't happened. You know, if only I hadn't done that. If only I could sort of take that away and the impact of that away. Well, in this new relationship with God, if only can happen. Because Jesus is our priest, brings about this true forgiveness where God forgets our sin. It's as though it never happened. And that means for us, we can forget as well. And we can move on and enjoy this relationship. True forgiveness. Secondly, this new relationship is a relationship of true change. So verse 10. "This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts." Now, God's law, the Ten Commandments and all of that, they express God's character. That they show what he loves, what he hates, what he's like. But in the Old Testament, the law was on stone tablets. And if you held up the law to a sinner, you're basically saying, "This is what you should be like," which had the effect of saying, "Look what you're not like." It's like holding up a mirror to a person covered in mud and saying, "Look at how dirty you are." But in the new covenant, God promises to put his law inside us, in our minds and on our hearts. Now, the law expresses God's character, his nature. So we're saying what God is like, what he loves, what he hates, is going to come into us. And we're told elsewhere this happens because God puts his own spirit in us. And his spirit comes into us and changes us. What we love, what we hate, how we act, how we speak, so that we live out his character and become like him. Now, that process, that change, won't be complete until the new creation, when we're made completely like God. But if you're a Christian, it starts now. God gives us his spirit and he starts changing us. We still have sin in us, so it's a very mixed picture. It's very messy. But we start to change. We start to become like God. And becoming like him is what we were made to be. God made us in his image. So becoming like him means becoming the true us. It means becoming who we were made to be. Now again, isn't that the sort of relationship we want? The best relationships are the ones which help us sort of be our true selves, aren't they? In the relationship, perhaps the person teaches us things, models things to us. There's something in the dynamic which kind of brings out the best in us. And we become, if you like, the best version of ourselves. Well, that's what this relationship is, and much more. Because becoming like God is becoming who we were made to be. And so in this relationship, God is changing us to be our true selves. That change is hard. It's messy, like I said. Sometimes it feels very unnatural. You think, this isn't me. But actually, he is changing us into the true us, the real us, the best version of ourselves. And that won't be finished till the new creation, but it starts now. True change. And thirdly, it's a relationship of true knowledge. Halfway through verse 10, he says, I will be their God and they will be my people. Now that phrase, I'll be their God, come and they'll be my people, comes throughout the Bible, describing God's people's relationship with him. But it keeps kind of collapsing and failing because of sin. But in this new relationship, God says, it'll be fulfilled. And again, it's completely fulfilled in the new creation when we know God fully and completely. And then in verse 11, we get a slightly odd phrase. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. Now, at first, that sounds like you don't need and possibly shouldn't have teachers, which calls into question what I'm doing now. Well, there are two senses in which we don't need teachers. First of all, in the new creation, we won't need a sermon. God will be there in front of us and we'll know him completely. But there is a sense, secondly, in a way that this is true now. In 1 John chapter 2, we read this. The anointing you received remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. The anointing receives the Holy Spirit. And he's saying, because you have the Spirit, you don't need anyone to teach you to know the Lord. It's a fulfillment of Jeremiah 31. You don't need anyone to teach you to know the Lord because you know him for yourself. The point is this. In the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, you couldn't access God directly. Your relationship with God always went via somebody else. A prophet told you about God or brought God's word to you. A priest mediated to God for you, offered a sacrifice, that sort of thing. But in this new covenant relationship, because of Jesus and the Spirit, we can have the privilege of an unmediated relationship with God. I mean, it's through Jesus, of course, but because we have his Spirit, it is direct. We will know him directly and intimately and personally. That doesn't mean there's no role for teachers. God has given us teachers so we can know him better. The point is, it's knowing God better for yourself. Particularly notice, Jeremiah says, all of God's people will know him, from the least to the greatest. And that's quite a thing. That means if you're a Christian, no one knows God better than you do. Now, as I say that, you might think, come on. And it's true. Some people know more about God. Some people know their Bibles better, that sort of thing. It is true. Some people appreciate God more. They enjoy him more. They cherish him more. They have a more vital relationship with him. But no one knows God better than you do, more than you, in the sense that no one is any more accepted by God than you. No one has any more access to God than you. It's like a child who is adopted into a family. In their first weeks as a new member of the family, they don't know their new dad as well as the other kids. They don't know how he likes his coffee, and they don't get his jokes. But they can run to him and sit on his lap as much as any child in the family, because they're equally accepted. And it's the same with us and God. Some people know more about him. Some people appreciate that more. But we are equally accepted. And again, isn't that what we want in relationships? Insecurity in a relationship is a horrible thing. The sense someone likes someone else more than us. The impression there's an inner circle which we're not in. I'm left out. It's not like that in this new covenant relationship. There's no cue to God. There's no inner circle. If you like, there's no one more in with God than you, because you're completely accepted. It's true knowledge of God. So, relationships. Precious, the stuff of life, the heart of life. But guilt, not being yourself, insecurity, easily mucks things up. What about our relationship with God? Jesus, as our priest, gives us a new covenant relationship with him, where we have true forgiveness. There's no guilt. Our sin is forgotten. We have true change. We're becoming our true selves, who we were made to be. And we have true knowledge. There's no cue. We know him directly, personally, intimately, for ourselves. And it's all because of Jesus, our great high priest. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to see how he has made all that possible. Why don't I pray? Heavenly Father, we praise you for the promise and the gift and the reality of this new relationship, this new covenant relationship with you. And we pray you'd help us grasp what Jesus has given us, forgiveness and change and knowledge, and we might cherish it, and we might wonder at it, we might delight in it, and we might go deeper into knowing you. And we pray all this in his name. Amen.